Have you ever had someone recommend something to you? Have you ever asked for a recommendation for something? Have you ever taken a recommendation you regretted? Do you have something you want to recommend? Welcome to Recommended to Me by a Friend. If you're anything like me, you've probably had a lot of people who have given you a lot of recommendations for everything, from what to watch, to what to eat, to where you should spend your free time. Come and hear what happens when this overscheduled writer not only expands her horizons with new recommendations, but also tests the boundaries of friendship as I drag a new co-host along for the ride. Will I have made a positive memory, or will I give my friends a new reason not to answer my calls?
I'm Aubrey, and this is Recommended to Me by a Friend.
So that was like at the end of the night. I was like, I was so worried I was going to sleep through my alarm because I was hell-bent. I told Dan going into this. I was like, listen, it's an experience. I'm going to take care of the tickets. But here's the thing. I will get my money's worth. Mm-hmm. And what I meant by that was I want to do all the things. And you got to, I want to be there at park open. And I want to leave when park closes. Close. Yeah. And so the park opens at 8. Mm-hmm. And we're about an hour away.
About an hour away.
Like comfortably, like driving an hour away. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, okay, if it opens at 8, we got to leave by 7. Mm-hmm. But we have to make some stops that puts us leaving at 6:30. And so why the hell did we get up so early? Because we were like, I got to... No, I remember what happened. Okay, so the plan was for me to meet you over near your apartment.
Yes.
Because you had the car.
Yes.
And so that was pretty funny. The night before, Dan's giving me the rundown. He's like, okay. He actually walked me through, like, the subway stops. Mm-hmm. And, like, we're going through, like, checklists, like, this is the landmark, and this, and this, and this. Mm. And I don't know, we just both lost so much confidence in that plan. And Dan's like, what if you got Uber to take you in the morning? So,
I was... Like, the thing, I love LA public transportation. I do it several times a week.
But you're not a shorter than Napoleon girl walking by yourself.
Who's not used to... Yeah. I mean, imagine if what happens yesterday had... happened on Disney Day. That would have been...
I misplaced one train station. One train station. I have not heard the end of it.
And you will not.
Right.
That's just how your life is now.
Until you do something embarrassing and stupid.
And then I'll just be able to point out, hey, you lost a train station.
Once. One time. Yeah. I lost one measly little train station.
Not measly or little. It's a giant hole in the ground.
So anyway, I was worried that I was going to miss my alarm. Mm-hmm. And, of course, my drill sergeant brain kicks in. And I'm like, Disney boot camp, gotta make sure. And I also had very little confidence.
You stayed up all night, didn't you?
I tried not to. I took my sleepers at 8, like 8:30. And then I couldn't get my Alexa to work on my phone or my tablet. And I was like, okay, right. And so then I had to download a new app, and I didn't trust that. So I had to test it. Uh-huh. And then I was like, I'll have it go off at 8:34 so I can test it. And then I realized it didn't go off, and I was like, well, this is not good. And I was in the process of looking for a new app when I realized I set it for 8:24 a.m., not p.m. And I was like, well, I might have fired a reliable employee. So, had to test it, and even then, a little keyed up. And then I kept waking up, and finally at about 4:15, I was like, I guess that's it. Like, I guess I'm up for the day. I got dressed. I got my little discount Mickey ears. Jack Skellington.
They're very cute. They're very nice.
They're adorable.
And you got them off... Do you want to advertise where you got them from?
I actually got them off of Temu.
I don't know what that is.
I think, though, there's an Etsy designer that sold them off of Temu. Okay. I wish I could remember who... Yeah. And I was kind of worried that they were going to be, like, everywhere, because I saw a billion pictures of these ears online. And then I was the only one that had them. Got a little...
Well, you were... And you got complimented for them several times.
I did.
Including by a very cool goth girl. I'm like, that is... that.
You should have got her number, man.
I mean, you're right. You're right.
You know what? That's not on you. I should have wing-womaned for you.
She did like your ears.
Yeah.
So, already had that in.
I had my little Mickey ears, but I was also embarrassed to put them on, so I would, like, stuff them in my tiny bag. And then Mike got the Uber driver. For some reason, I don't know what sexist part of my brain was like, I feel so much better that it's a woman picking me up.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was like, what, like 6 a.m.? 6:30?
5 something. Because I had to be at your place. No, it had to have been like 5:40. I think that's...
5:40?
Yeah. I'm not going to edit out the ambulances. I'm just not.
Okay.
Okay. If you're listening
to this. It is an active, busy, living city.
If you're listening to this.
Hopefully the person in the ambulance is living.
And you hear, well, definitely the driver. That's a really cool trait of this city. Just like the dead can like take up emergency. They're like, I'm not doing anything else. It's fine. Just, they can't do CPR.
No,
they do not have breath.
Kind of like Edward Cullen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like in a way that's not stupid. Or glittery.
Some of them might be glittery.
Or the Batman.
You're much maligning the Batman. I do love that movie.
So I got to the apartment,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, okay, I'm here. And then I didn't hear anything. And I was like, I can be totally cool. And then like a lot of time passed. And I was like, where the hell is he? We're going to fall so far behind. We're so far behind schedule. Why isn't he here? Something terrible must have happened. And then I looked at my clock, and it had been 1 minute. I was like, I might need to chill a little bit.
A little bit. I mean, we were a little bit late for opening.
Yeah.
We were.
That's because okay.
Because traffic in L.A. starts...
Early?
Early. So early.
We did fine.
We did do fine. In the end, we left the park early, so...
Well, okay. We got there, and the reason why we wanted to go to Disney, the reason mm-hmm. why I was like, yes, because normally I used to do the groups in June,
mm-hmm.
I wanted to see, not just any Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party, but the California version.
Mm-hmm.
Because...
the Oogie Boogie Bash.
Well, we couldn't do the Oogie Boogie Bash.
No.
But because the Nightmare Before Christmas
mm-hmm.
takes over the Haunted Mansion only in California.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to see it. Man, there's like a robbery or something happening out of this window. Take in a break for a second. Mm-hmm. We'll be right back. Sometimes, back home, we have to hold for barking.
For barking?
Barking.
A little later.
Where were we?
I don't know. The ambulance is gone.
Oh, yeah. You were talking about how you...
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. We got there. It was mm-hmm. for the Halloween thing.
Yeah.
Okay. And there's certain things that are not available in Florida that are mm-hmm. only available in California. And we did everything on that list. There was the Matterhorn bobsled.
Mm-hmm.
There was... That's where the goth girl... That was toward the end of the night, and she liked my ears. And I should have played Have You Met Dan? I'm sorry.
You were just too overwhelmed by her compliment.
That's what it was. But more than that, mm-hmm. I would say that between the glass walking in Venice Beach and the trolley walking and then the sidewalk that was out to get me, there's no mm-hmm. escaping that, my foot game was off.
Meanwhile, I had been picketing for 5 months straight, and... I think we were averaging a good 7 miles per day.
We walked 12 miles.
The thing is, the AMPTP, they just made us stronger. Literally, we have calves of steel now.
And I have been sitting at my office job mm-hmm. getting doughy and doughier. And I'm okay with that, okay?
But you paid for the trip.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. I paid for the trip and I used PTO.
Yeah.
That's adulting.
That is adulting. That is gaming the system.
But we were walking everywhere, and by the time we got to the end of the night, I felt like my feet were just bruised. And it got to the point where I'm just, like, literally, like, anytime I could sit,
mm-hmm.
anytime, I was like, I gotta sit down.
Sit or lean or any iteration of that.
It was so bad. Like, honestly, for a while, I thought my pinky toe was broken. Just straight up broken.
But again, I kept asking you.
The thing
is, are you sure your foot's not broken?
The thing is, I'm not in California a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And we're already there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not gonna bitch out, okay? And I remember even one point I was like, I
admire your persistence.
I really want my pride to win. And it did kind of.
Yeah.
But anyway, so yeah, the Matterhorn
bobsled. I mean, you didn't have to crawl to the car, so that's a victory in itself.
I did punk out. We got to the parking garage to find the car, and we couldn't find the car. And I was like,
"What was the thing?" We were so excited that we got Disney, and also you were a little bit like, "We're late. We're late. We're late for a very important date."
Yeah.
And we didn't make note of where the car was.
We didn't. We bounced
in this giant Disney parking garage.
We bounced like we were escaping our captors.
We bounced like that ball at the beginning of a Pixar movie.
We straight up did not care. We were like, see us later, Mom, to the car, which is inanimate. And just zero thought was given
to
that. And normally I'm very careful with that.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, I was like, let's go. Yeah, we, oh my gosh, we got in our first ride.
Which was a trolley. Cruise. Which was a trolley from the parking garage to the, it's a ride.
It's, how sad for you that that's a ride.
I mean, it unveils the park before your eyes. It's very.
What is happening out there? It's like it stopped.
End of the world.
It just picked up, like, it was on the ambulance.
Dear podcast listener, if the world is ending while we're recording this.
If I'm honest, I'm not going to edit if that's the case.
But this might be, like, a historic record.
A historic record. I got to tell you, listener, if you're listening to us for any kind of information after the world ends, you're already doomed. Like, it's done. I'm sorry. And I'm sorry I have to be the one to tell you. That's a real bummer. I don't know a lot.
Or we're honored to be the ones to tell you because that's, you know, that's a big responsibility.
I don't know a lot. I couldn't figure out the second microphone, and I'm shorter than Napoleon. These are not good qualifications. The only qualification I have is that
and your feet almost fell off at Disneyland.
Okay, yeah. So yeah, the feet. Oh man, and I kept trying to like push through. Now we did the magic bands. Mm-hmm. We kept trying to figure out how to do the glow with the show.
Now, do you have a review of the magic bands?
I do actually have a review mm-hmm. of the magic bands.
Now, can you recommend to the listeners? Are they something that you would recommend?
Okay, so back in my day, mm-hmm. the magic bands were it worked as your ticket, and it worked mm-hmm. as a way to use the fast pass system. And every guest yeah. was entitled to at least 3 fast passes. And the way that you could do that. Was you
what was the status of smartphones back in this day?
Not the best.
Not the best?
No.
Okay.
But I mean, even whenever I did this in 2017, mm-hmm. that's how you could like pick and choose the options. Hold for ambulance.
Later that same evening.
All right, so a review of the magic bands. Mm-hmm. Back in the day, 2017, you did have to use your smartphone, but everybody that bought a ticket was entitled to get at least 3 picks, and then after you spent those first 3, you could get another one. Mm-hmm. As long as they were at least 2 hours apart, you could kind of stack them.
Sure.
Now, that's what I thought the magic bands were going to do this time around. Mm-hmm. Now, since the pandemic, everybody's had some price hikes and things yeah. like that. And finally, one of the perks that did sell me on the magic band was supposed to be the photo pass, but we never had time to take any of the photos with the cast members.
Yeah.
But I didn't know how much time we would not have because I don't know. Like, I was like, it's a park. We can do it in a day. And it was 2 parks.
Yeah. Well, you like, it was a park and a half. We can do that.
Yeah, it was a park and a half. Anyway.
It was literally a park and a half because the other park closed at 6.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wish I'd known that. Otherwise, we would have started in California Adventure.
Yeah.
But anyway, all that to say, we did the magic bands. I was supposed to have all these perks. And I remember initially, I couldn't get it to work.
Yeah.
We had
to go to the town hall.
Like, that whole morning, I kept checking.
Even though I think it started working in the line for the town hall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I was checking that whole morning, and I was like, you have to be in the parks mm-hmm. to get it, to set it. And then I thought in the parks would have been at least at security check.
Yeah.
And it wasn't working. And I was like, okay, all right. And then it started working. We went to our first ride, because I was like, I don't want to start using fast passes yet. We went to our first ride. It was like, everything's going to be fine. We're going to be officially Disneying in under 15 minutes.
Yep.
And then the ride broke.
First, I mean, the park was over like, what, a half hour, 45 minutes?
No, I checked the time. It was about maybe 16 to 20 minutes in.
Okay.
And I was like...
Which was the wait time of Jungle Cruise. This is the ride we're talking about, Jungle Cruise.
I was like, we're back on track.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were like, we're sorry, it's broken down. And I just broke in hysterical laughter. Do you remember that?
I do.
My off-putting cackle. And I was like, let's go. And then we got in the wrong line for Pirates. We managed to get on, like, the bridge where everybody else was going under the bridge. Mm-hmm. We were on top of the bridge. Like, where's the end? It's under the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway.
We got on the Pirates.
We did. And it was there that I started kind of panicking about the fast passes.
Mm-hmm.
So we booked something. I don't remember what.
I think we booked Indiana Jones.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
We booked Indiana Jones, which is only available in California,
mm-hmm.
not Florida. And at that point, I started getting a little antsy about the lines.
Here's another thing. Like, I have been to Disneyland several times living mm-hmm. in L.A. And this was the most packed I've ever seen it.
Yeah.
Usually we don't have any trouble. Like, I think the longest lines were like 70 minutes was like mm-hmm. the longest line that I'd ever seen up until this point. I saw lines up to like 125, 140 minutes.
Granted, I don't think we waited that long for anything.
We never did. No, but absolutely not.
It was, we were still in the boat for pirates, and I had, like, you know, I geeked out over that. And then at that
point, oh, you had something to say about pirates because this is your first time on the California Disneyland version, which this is the original version.
The California is longer, so anybody that's been to Disney World is at Disneyland. Please know you're getting gypped by like a solid 10 minutes. Like, it's like there's a whole different pre-show, and by the way, you don't have to suffer through Blackbeard from Pirates 5. And yeah, you didn't have to deal with any of that jazz.
What was the difference?
Okay, so in the beginning, you go through, there's the bayou, because there's a restaurant inside there.
Which is, it's beautiful. Like, if I could live there, I would.
There, you just want to live in, like, a subterranean flooded basement?
I mean, it smells of delightful chlorine. It has, like, the fireflies going.
You can yes. It's okay. I'm not going to judge you.
It's got the crickets, it's got the fireflies, it's just like the perfect evening, so just your, chill.
Your ideal apartment, home, domicile is a flooded, chlorine scented.
I mean, I would live in the house that the restaurant infested. If the bugs are little twinkle lights, then yeah, sure, why not?
The fact that you're not just saying yes means you understand this is crazy. I'll say some crazy stuff, and then I'll be like,
it's also especially great when it's a really hot day and just like, it's air conditioned, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, the entire intro. Mm-hmm. And also there's like, this is the episode where I have an aneurysm. It's pretty fun.
Well, there's lots of ambulances around. So.
I know, I'm in good hands.
Yeah.
I've had a good run.
Later that night.
The intro is very different, and you actually have, I think, two drops that we don't have. And that was neat. And I think it takes, there's a little bit more of an outro. There were some things, like, honestly, it was great, like, beat for beat, like, in the main part of it. And you were complaining about, like, all the Jack Sparrow-ness.
Yeah.
There is, in fact, less Jack Sparrow in California than in Florida.
Right.
Yeah.
Because he keeps popping up, and they keep having, like, random lines, like, oh, we better get the map because Jack Sparrow might get it. I'm like, this thing is a legacy. I know that the movies are,
get it. I get it. Everyone talks about, like, the feminist pirates. Like, instead of the bid for a bride scene, now the redhead is now not somebody that the pirates are fighting over who they're going to, like, who's going to buy her.
She's like Anne Bonnie.
She's a pirate. But I object to that. Not because there weren't any female pirates, but because the original scene was not, in fact, unusual for the time. It's like, yeah, you're right. We shouldn't be bidding for brides. But we also don't have rampant pirates like this. Okay? I'm just saying, at some point, I'm worried they're going to be like, I don't know, this is a bad example. And instead of pirates, they're going to be like stockbrokers. And I'm still going to write it. You know, to visit you in your new house. But, like, you know, that's going to be a whole thing. First time that I saw that in 2017, I was so excited to show my nieces. And I was like, and under my breath, I was like, what the hell is this nonsense? It's like, what the frickity frack have they done? But anyway, we were still in the boat, and I was getting kind of worried about the lines. And right after this, we started figuring out, like, how to do the rides better. Uh-huh. But that's when I was... For each individual person, there was an extra fee to do a lightning lane for a specific ride that we want to see. It was the...
Rise of the Resistance. Star Wars Rise of the...
Star Wars Rise of
Star
the Resistance.
Star Wars Rise of the Resistance.
And we booked that. We snapped it up.
Oh, yeah.
We debated...
I had never even seen it.
Yeah. He'd never seen it. He's the biggest Star Wars fan
ever. I love Star Wars so much.
Like...
I was just... Pure joy. Just.
I'm pretty sure an EKG would read out in the shape of Yoda's ears. Like, that's...
Absolutely. Yeah. You're not wrong.
But anyway, we decided we're going to do that. We wrote a bunch of things. The only things we really didn't get into were, like, Dumbo and the Peter Pan's flight.
Peter Pan's flight.
Which you've never been on.
I might have been on it, but... It's been a long time.
I made you ride the It's a Small World.
Which I had never ridden before.
And
because
you,
it's just so maligned.
And you made me ride Mr. Toad's Wild Ride.
What do you think of Mr. Toad's Wild Ride?
It was a fun little trip. Mm-hmm. Although I had never seen Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. And so Dan had to give me, like, the...
Oh, it's The Wind in the Willows is okay. The name of the...
Well, I'd never seen it.
Source.
Mm-hmm. And he had to give me, like, the gist. Like, basically... And we got to a point, he's like, Mr. Toad is super rich, and he has almost no rules, and now he has a car. I'm gonna leave it at that. And I was like, well, he's clearly gonna abuse that car.
Well, yeah, would...
Yeah.
I mean, it's called Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. It's right there in the title.
And it was in that line that we saw people playing Heads Up on their phone, which is an app.
Mm-hmm.
And Dan was like, what is that game? And I was like, oh, you're so well, sweet.
The thing is, like, yes. Okay. But also, in the Disney app. Yeah. In the Disney app, there's like a play section.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a bunch of like trivia games and whatnot. So I figured that since so many people were playing this game at Disneyland, this is mm-hmm. the main place I saw it, that, oh, maybe it's part of the app. I was looking for it until finally I was like, where is this game?
You were sitting there and I was like, yeah, he was like, what is that? And I, okay, that makes more sense. You had been looking for it. And now you're ready to outsource it to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, that's the Heads Up game. And he's like, well, I don't know where that is. I was like, no, it's an app. And we didn't get it that night.
We didn't get it that night.
We went through 3 phones worth of battery. Because we were, like, desperately
looking
at...
Well, you need your phone at Disney.
You do.
You really do. Like, you need it for the map. You need it for the times. You need it for your fast passes. Mm-hmm. Like, it's indispensable.
It's bonkers.
Mm.
But, yeah, you preserve the lightning lanes. And, again, not all lightning lanes require an extra fee.
There were just 2 that I can think of.
Yeah. And one... broke down.
We'll get to that.
Yeah. But anyway, so...
But Rise of Resistance. It was just an incredible... I think it's the newest one in the park, or the second newest one in the park. And it blew my mind.
Phenomenal. I'm kind of... I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm glad we didn't wait 2 hours for it.
Mm.
But I do wonder what we missed in the queue. Because Disney is synonymous with pre-show queues. And when we got there, you know, we were kind of rushed in. And... immediately, I think the story is, you know, we get, yeah, the resistance well, is picking us up.
So
we're going to help them.
If you've never been to Disney, to Disneyland, to Star Wars Galaxy, it's very themed. It's like organized as almost like a LARP.
You know what? Hang on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to say this. The Rise of the Resistance is so famous at this point.
Yeah.
Because it is a phenomenal ride, the tech is amazing, that if you have an interest in seeing it, you have already been on it or you've watched some YouTubes on it. So I won't go into all the details. And if you don't have an interest, then you're going to be like, I don't like this new format, Aubrey. So the pre-show that we got into, like, the guards kind of kidnap us.
Yeah, I mean, there's this whole thing where... you get onto a shuttle that's being run by... You're a resistance operative.
Well, we're taken prisoner by the Force. No, by the...
Empire. By the First Order.
By the First Order. Yeah. And more ambulances are happening now.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I wanted to skip over a lot of, like, all the details.
Sure.
But for no other reason, because there's a lot.
Mm.
Can
I...
Yeah.
Yeah. Whenever the ambulance is passed.
Because it's probably going to... Mm-hmm. This is going to be fun to edit. I'm going to have a blast.
Much later.
So the thing with Galaxy's Edge is it's basically
what
you
is
can
Edge?
LARP. It's the Star Wars. It's Star Wars World.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a planet called Batuu.
It's all immersive.
It's all immersive.
Fun thing about Batuu.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know a lot about Star Wars, but I know a lot about The Sims. And right around the time that they were unveiling all this stuff, they had an expansion pack. Called like Journey to Batuu.
Oh, nice.
And you could have like the different skins, and that one girl that's got like the big pigtails made of skin.
Ahsoka?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. And like other characters.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's the only reason I know Batuu.
Nice. So, you know, it's one of those things where like you can get as immersed as you want to into this game. You can turn your phone into like a data pad, like Star Wars data pad, if you have the Disney app. And you can scan different things. It can translate, like, the Arabish, the Star Wars language that's written on the walls. You can take jobs from certain characters.
That Arabish was everywhere. Mm-hmm. And I just thought it was, like, set dressing.
Yeah. And even, like, the Coca-Cola, the Sprite.
Oh, yeah.
Everything is written in, like, Star Wars language.
That was so
cool. There is nothing to break you from the immersion once you, like, enter that area.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in Rise of Resistance, you... are a resistance operative.
And then...
And you're being evacuated from Batu because you've been found out. The Empire's coming.
The First Order gets you.
You get on a shuttle, and there's an amazing Mon Calamari animatronic that's just there. Just, like, feet away from
you. I think it's weird that they call him Calamari.
I mean, sure.
That's like if you called me Long Pork. Like, I don't need to be named after the meat, okay? But yeah, so we are... The First Order catches us.
Is there anywhere else in Disney where you're that close to an animatronic?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Haunted Mansion, for one. Jack was, like, right there.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. And also the Yeti in the...
He does invade your personal space a little bit. Yeah. That's true.
But, I mean... You just don't have that much time. Mm-hmm. Now, had I known what was going to happen, I would have put you right by the window.
There's a bunch of view screens all around the waiting area.
But I could have put you by the end.
And this isn't even the ride. This is still part of the queue.
Yeah, pre-show. Yeah. But after that, you know, we're caught, and then the bad guys, the First Order, open the door. Mm-hmm. And they're like, you know, you're prisoners now.
And you walk into, like, a Star Destroyer hangar with, like, full of stormtroopers.
I gotta tell you, they are dicks. The whole time.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's great. Like, they're
actively... The ride operators are insulting you and berating you.
And for one, there was a point, because you had to stand on, like, the colored lines. Mm-hmm. Like, we were putting, like, gold and blue and red.
Yeah, like, instead of, like, oh, there's two of you, go to lane two. Yeah. Here, they're like, go to...
Yeah, like, how many? You go there.
Go to
you
line five. Go to line red.
Yeah. Yeah. And for whatever reason, I couldn't commit it to memory. I think they told us we were blue, and I kept wanting to go to gold, and I don't know why. And I was like, oh, no, Dan's wrong. And I was like, we have to go to gold. And I think for a minute they thought that I was trying to challenge them. Mm-hmm. And then immediately they were like, oh, she's slow. Like, I felt so... Because you could see her kind of, like, our interrogator.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it must be so much fun to have that role.
And she was so mean to everybody but me. Like, she wasn't nice to me.
Yeah.
But, like, you could tell, like, she probably thought that I had some kind of issue. And was like, don't make her cry. Like... Because for whatever reason, like, I'm, like, grabbing onto Dan's hoodie sleeve. I'm like, no, we have to go here. He's like, and he's so jazzed about being in the Star Wars.
Oh, yeah, I was having an out-of-body experience.
Yeah, and so he's just excited and kind of ignoring me. And so what happens here is it looks like I'm having some kind of issue. And this woman probably sees, like, oh, okay, her caretaker is distracted. And so, like, we had to stand next to her. Uh-huh. And she was mean to everybody else. Like, she was, what is it?
Shoulders back, head high.
Yeah, head high. And, like,
don't talk back.
No hands in pockets and stuff. And I was just sitting there, and, like, she just kind of passed me. Like, she side-eyed you and, like, everybody else in the line.
Yeah.
And I was, like, immediately felt so bad because I was, like, well, they think I'm slow.
It's okay. You'll probably never see her again.
But meanwhile, Dan is just so excited. He's so thrilled. But that was... They made somebody move off of the line that we were put on. Uh-huh. They were like, no, come here. Just, like, with a nicer tone. I was like, yeah, okay. but yeah, so... And we were the only people that I could hear on our little shuttle that we got, like, really into it. You know, like, we got rescued. And they're like, go, go. And we're like, we ran to our little shuttle. Like, okay, yeah, we're ready. We're ready for this. Mm. And then, like...
I got a very good piece of advice, like, the first time I went to Disneyland. It's like, just be a kid.
Just play
just
on.
Just have fun. Yeah. Like, don't be cool. Don't think that you're going to win any points by, you know, being all, like, unimpressed by things. Like, it's Disney. It's impressive.
Again.
Like, just let it wash over you.
It's not a cheap experience, but it is a fun experience, and I will get my money's worth. Mm-hmm. And so we were the only ones on our ride that are like, you know, like, we get put up in front of an AT-AT, and then the guns come out, and we were the only ones, oh, no! Go! And I remember at one point, the person, like, there was a teenager sitting in front of us that kind of, like, turned around a little, like, is she serious? It's like, yeah.
There's an AT-AT staring at us in the face, and you know what? That's just
at a certain point, dream. It becomes real, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if it's
a life-size AT-AT is an impressive thing. Like,
was it? I guess it had to have been it was,
It was several stories tall.
I didn't even think of that. The tech on that's amazing. And if you have the opportunity, definitely do it. I will say, I would recommend...
I don't know even how they did the effect, but, like, it starts to shoot at you, and, like, pieces of the ceiling and the wall start to, like, get blown away.
I actually know how that happens, but I'm not going to go into all the details. What I can say is there is a wonderful YouTuber that actually, there's a few of them, that go on to describe, and I think it's called How It Works.
How It Works.
Disneyland.
Okay.
And it will actually show you bit by bit of all the effects.
Awesome. Well, I've been avoiding spoilers since it opened, because I knew wanted to go, and now I can just dive in.
Yeah. It is a really impressive. They use all sorts of really impressive tech. Now, I will say, I will recommend this ride hands down. However, do I recommend using the...
$50.
Well, okay, it wasn't $50. It was $25 per guest, and in our case, $50.
Yeah.
Now, those traveling with families, that's exponentially higher, whatever, and some people have no issue with that at all. In my case, I was like, I set aside a certain amount for a vacation. I can say that I do recommend it for the cost of $25 a person for a small group. Small group. I don't know if it is worth a $200 add-on, especially with, like, small kids or something, people that aren't going to really remember it, or people that do not care about Star Wars at all.
Yeah.
That's not... It's an impressive ride.
I mean, don't waste your money on them anyway.
They're nightmare people. They have no souls. So don't worry about that. But no, it's just wait it out. It's worth a wait. I don't know if it's worth a $200 price hike, but it is worth a wait of, I would say, I would even go as far as to say probably about 2 hours.
Yep.
I mean, it's not the best. It's not the ideal solution. But if your choice is wait 2 hours. Oh, and another thing I found out, you can bring snacks onto the queues. So that's
And there's some great snacks in Star Wars Galaxy.
There are some great snacks.
We didn't really get to try them, but I can definitely recommend the blue milk. It's like a slushy. This kind of, I think it's like coconut flavor.
I'm pretty sure that the blue milk recipe is in that cookbook I gave you last year for Christmas.
We have to break that out.
Yeah.
Or just go to Disneyland again, because they live here.
Thanks. Yeah. I was thinking you could figure out how to make it and then make it.
I would pay the cost of admission. To spend the day in Star Wars Galaxy. I haven't done that yet.
That's pretty much what you would do. But anyway, so that was a fun experience. I would say the magic bands, all in all, I think you can do the lightning lanes with just the phone. But another add-on was the photo pass, which, if nothing else... It didn't work with the rides. And I think that would have worked with the actual cast members that take the pictures and scan the bands. That probably would have worked. But part of what I liked about the photo pass from yesteryear was it was just, it added it on and you went about your day. And the last thing was the glow with the show. At one point we were in line for...
I think it's the Matterhorn.
The Matterhorn, yeah. And we had wandered into the proximity of... We wandered into the proximity of a night show. We had to look it up online to see what it was.
It was being projected onto It's a Small World.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And... our bracelets randomly started buzzing and glowing, and we were like, what is this? And then I was like, wait a second, I know what it is. Probably neat if you are like one of the, like, if you have a night show that you want to add a little bit of an extra enhancement to, great. Also,
it is a nice souvenir. It's sleek. I mean, you know, you can get all kinds of different designs on them.
The ones that I purchased were basic. I bought yours and mine, and they were just like a basic one color. I picked black for both of us because I thought that was a boy color that you would be fine with, and I knew it would go with my outfit.
Yeah.
So those, I think, were $35 a piece. A little on the steep side, again.
I mean, everything's steep. I think I bought a baseball cap, and it was about $30.
But unlike the Magic Bands of yesteryear, these are designed to... be multi-use. And because of that, they can also be recharged, and it's, you know, it's a useful thing. So I would recommend the Magic Bands as long as you understand that, A, you don't need them. It is 100% an add, like just a perk plus. And I think you can use the Lightning Lanes without them, and you can definitely get in the parks without them if you have a smartphone. But I don't know that I would be interested in the $75 Magic Band options, in which the only difference is the skin.
Yeah, which, I mean, you're a Disney adult at that point.
I mean, and that's...
Which, no offense, I mean,
I wish I could afford
to be a Disney adult.
I'm going
to
say it. I don't know a single Disney child. Children cannot afford to go to Disney. And by the way, adults that go to Disney without kids are part of the reasons why people can afford to take their families. I'm sorry, But parents that have like 9 kids or 4 kids and they all need braces are not thinking about Disney. Disney adult is not a negative, okay? Mm-hmm. And if you think it is, you have no soul, bury your dreams, okay? Rant over. I don't like that phrasing.
You can cut it if you want to.
I'm not gonna.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I would say, as far as the recommendations goes, if you are, dare I say, a Disney adult, and you have been curious in the States about the differences, it is worth it. The Magic Bands are not a must.
Mm-hmm.
I do recommend, if you have to do the add-ons, there's certain things I recommend. I mean,
the ticket is already decent.
Yeah.
So adding on another $35, $65, $70.
The only reason I did is because I only booked one day.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I don't live around here.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that.
You need to justify.
Yeah, well, I feel like I do. I feel like I'm it's being judged. It's a
fun souvenir.
I feel like I'm being judged by our listeners.
It's a fun dad. Souvenir. It's got the mouse on it.
It does.
It lights up.
It does, yeah.
It's fun.
But anyway, so the thing is, though, we stayed until parks closed, which was midnight. And by that
no, point, we left at 11.
Wait, no.
A little bit after 11.
We left Haunted Mansion about like 11:20.
Okay.
And fine. Then we shuffled. I shuffled out of the park and I got distracted at a Christmas shop. Anyway. Mm,
yeah.
But yeah. So that was, and I mean, that day, I thought, I mean, honestly, I've never felt worse. My body never felt worse if I wasn't hungover.
I just want to say, like, we rode most of the rides.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we should talk about our favorite rides. Because I had 2 favorite rides that were just standouts. And one of them was obviously Rise of Resistance.
Okay, hang on. I would say I probably had 2 stellar rides.
Mm-hmm.
So let me figure out what your 2 are.
Okay. My, obviously, Rise of Resistance.
Well, I was going to guess. But
you're going to guess.
And the other one's got to be Smuggler's Run.
I like Smuggler's Run, but that wasn't it.
Ah.
It was the new Mickey Mouse ride.
Oh, yeah.
Was it Mickey Mouse's Runaway Train? Something like that?
Yeah. It's in Toontown.
Yeah, it has kind of the same ride vehicle as Rise of Resistance.
Now, for people that have more access to Disney World instead of Disneyland, this is a ride available in Disney's Hollywood Studios, and it's where the Chinese Theater used to be. Well, it still is in the Chinese Theater, but it's where the Great Movie Ride used to be.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
Literally, like, the queue is you're stepping into a cartoon, mm-hmm. and it feels that way. Yeah. Like, it's, the tech is amazing, the animatronics are amazing, the projection blew my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've been to movie theaters that didn't have projections that crisp and clear and bright as this ride.
They didn't make the animatronics super realistic. Mm-hmm. Like, it wasn't a realist style. And it wasn't a super, like, it wasn't just goofy 2D animation style. It was a true marriage of a comic book come to life.
Oh, yeah. And they merged, like, I was kind of complaining about this at Universal, mm-hmm. where, like, you could always see where the screens were.
Mm-hmm.
With this, it was completely seamless.
Yeah.
Like, between the animatronics and the 3D elements and the screens in the background, it just...
Mm-hmm.
It was so immersive. It was incredible. But, and I wasn't that excited because I always heard that Toontown, I'd never actually been back in that part of the park, mm-hmm. like at all. I'd always heard there was more like a kiddie section of the park.
But the thing is, I knew that mm-hmm. that ride, I knew that it was there. Mm-hmm. And I said, I want to go check it out. We blew off the Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party parade
mm-hmm.
for that. And I did want to see that. But then I was like, wait, I have a better idea. And that's what we wound up doing.
Mm.
So, yeah.
And for being a new ride, the line was never that long either.
Well, again, we went during a parade.
But like, even like all day. Mm. I think the biggest I saw was like 50 minutes.
Well. Okay, so Rise of Resistance and that one. What do you think my 2 were?
Incredicoaster?
I didn't even think of that one. That was a good one.
That was a very good
one. That was one you talked me into.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we got to tell that story.
Okay.
That
oh god yeah
we basically we had our fast pass set that we paid for for Rise of Resistance, and then we had also booked a fast pass for Incredicoaster.
The way the fast passes work is it opens up an hour long window, mm-hmm. and for 1 hour between, you know, whatever the time is, you go in and you can go in and just go immediately to the loading line. Pretty much the lightning lane.
I think it's about, it turns into like a 10 to 15 minute wait instead of however long the queue is.
Now, even though we booked the Rise of the Resistance ride first, that was, I think, was the paid thing. And that was paid. Yeah, that was the paid one. And the Incredicoaster, we could get just like it, we could stack it because it wasn't a paid experience. And that window, even though we got it later, technically opened 15 minutes before the Rise of the Resistance. Now, what I hadn't banked on was between the show and the ride itself, and you do not get gypped for the length of rides there. We had 20 minutes before our Incredicoaster line or pass closed.
Yeah, when we got out of Rise of Resistance, we had 20 minutes.
Now, and Rise of Resistance...
Here's the thing. Star Wars Galaxy is at the very west, upper west part of Disneyland.
Tucked way in the back of Disneyland.
And the Incredicoaster is right at the bottom of California Adventure.
So we had 20 minutes to get...
Basically from one end of the park to the other.
We had to get from one end of the park for the, to the other to another park to the end of that one. In the middle of all this crazy, like, mob. And I mean, at that point, because for some reason my brain went into, okay, get it, get it, get it. And so we just, like, we didn't run because we're not dicks.
We power walked.
We power walked. And then by the time we got to the roller coaster, and again, I didn't know what it was. And I just thought, Dan's like, oh, Dan likes The Incredibles or whatever. I was like, whatever. You know, it's a ride. It's fun. We're going to have fun. But I wasn't jazzed for it. And whenever I got there, part of my brain was like, oh, man, do I even like Dan as a friend? Like, do I even want to be here? I was so, my legs were killing me. My feet felt like torture devices. And then we got there, and I saw the ride we were about to ride just go from 0 to 60 in a takeoff.
Yeah.
And I went, yep, I'm sold.
Right?
That was bonkers. And we were on the very tail end. If you don't know...
I've been in the front, I've been in the middle, I've been in the tail end. It's great everywhere.
Well, if you don't know anything about roller coaster physics, or if you have a minimal understanding of roller coaster physics, the way that any roller coaster has to work is, especially with, you know, safety and everything from the last updates in the last 50 years, the way that it works is a special chain lock system. And Disney is very specific about this. Some of their coasters, for example, the Rock and Roller Coaster, which I'm not entirely convinced is not the same layout as in the Incredicoaster, warns you that if there is a problem on the ride, it has an infinite locking system, meaning it can catch a car anywhere on the track and stop it. Meaning,
that's good to know.
If you have souvenirs waiting at your feet and you are on a loop, and the it has to stop, you will get stuck upside down, and whatever is not strapped in will fall. And that's a really impressive safety feature. Now, if you're in the back of a coaster, it's a zero weight drop. And what that means is, in the front of the coaster, I'm sure if anybody is a coaster fanatic, you have experienced the moment of drop worry, where you're going to start to feel, if you actually know what you're looking for, you can feel the locking mechanism happen. Because what you are looking at is the drop, and suddenly, human nature, you're very aware of all of, you know, the mechanics and whatnot around you. And what's happening is, the last, it doesn't have to get to the very last, it has to get the last two-thirds of the actual train, has to lock into place. And it has to go through 3 to 4 locking, whatever. Based on a book that I read about this 10 years ago. So it might be a different system, but it's a very similar situation. Anyway, only then can the mechanics that take you up the hill take, you know, discharge from your cart. Meaning, the front has to wait until the back is all the way ready to go.
That
can take some time. So a lot of people like to ride the front because you get, you know, you don't see a cart in front of you. You get the, you know, you get the unobstructed views, and you get just like the thrill factor. Okay. Back of the cart for rides like Atlanta, Georgia's Six Flags, Goliath, has a reputation for being a little whippy. Because it doesn't have quite, it's still safe, but it doesn't have the weight at all. So from the last cart's perspective, you have a zero weight. It's very safe. I cannot stress that enough. Sorry, I really got into roller coaster physics like when I was writing the guidebook, and I was really impressed with all of this. But whenever we were about to get in the cart, I said, "Oh, we're getting in the back," and Dan didn't respond like I thought he would, and he goes, "Oh, I've never been in the back," kind of indifferent. And I was like, And at some point he goes, I've been in the front. And I was thinking, well, you know, it's going to be different,
right? Oh, yeah. I mean, I've been, you know, I love Six Flags. I've been on a bunch of, yeah, obviously.
I love that. Anyway, so yeah, so that's, and I got to tell you, that's a fun way to really just brush away all the sweat is on that Incredicoaster. I think there was a storyline about Jack-Jack.
Jack-Jack gets out away. And his, you know, he can't control Jack-Jack his power. Does. So they're like, they're all trying to capture him and you're helping them track him down.
Unfortunately, I am 5 foot tall, again, shorter than Napoleon. And I couldn't really see much past the car in front of me.
Like the thing, I don't know if this is a good thing, bad thing, or neutral thing. But, you know, when California Adventure first opened, it was all, I mean, the name should give it away. It was a California Adventure. It was all based around, like, different parts of California. And so it wasn't very, there weren't a lot of Disney characters.
Right.
When the park first opened. It was very much themed after California. You know, you had, like, the Big Bear water ride. That's right. You had Soarin', which was modeled after, like, you know, just like an airfield. Mm-hmm. And I believe...
It was probably meant as a way to bring a Disney umbrella that was more geared outside of the family-friendly children's.
Yeah, very much so. And also, like, there are accusations of them kind of wanting to do a park on the cheap. That was an accusation early on.
I understand where that would come from, but Disney does not do things halfway.
No. But, so, originally, what's called Pixar Pier was something else. I don't remember the part of California that was based on. But all those rides, the roller coaster, the Ferris wheel, they were all there. They've just received new decos to make them Pixar-themed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, like, you can tell that a lot of the Incredibles stuff around there was just kind of added on.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's still fun. You have the characters, like, talking in your ear the whole time. And, you know, they're fun characters. It's a fun little addition. But the ride itself is just solid, just by itself.
And to be honest, with a lot of coasters, you do kind of get an experience where you wait forever because it's this thrill. Mm-hmm. And then the ride's done in, like, 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of a letdown. To be honest, as much as but I loved...
It feels like a long roller coaster.
It is a long roller coaster. Yeah. The Incredicoaster, especially, I think I was going into it, especially if they have their big thrill at the beginning. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because at the beginning, basically, they line you up at the bottom of the hill, and then you hear the voice of Jack-Jack saying, like, okay, I'm going to push you off in 3, 2, 1, and then you 0 to 60 in, like, no time.
Yeah. Again, fans of the Rock and Roller Coaster are probably familiar with that. That is their big claim. They make a big thing about it. Because in that one, instead of a regular coaster, you're in a stretch limo on your way to go to an Aerosmith concert.
Oh, yeah.
Fun fact, it's supposed to be styled around the streets of L.A. So you have, like, L.A. landmarks and stuff and signs that say Los Angeles and whatnot.
Oh, nice.
But anyway, I want to do some more research because the layout seems very similar. Unlike that ride.
Obviously, like, I am talking about a lot of things that I've heard vaguely in the background. Yeah. So if I'm wrong,
It has the same feature where you have something pumping, like, sound right by your ears.
Yeah.
But unlike the Rock and Roller Coaster, this ride doesn't seem to have a reputation for breaking, I don't know, every 20 minutes, give or take.
Yeah, I think I've seen it temporarily closed before, but I've gotten to ride it every time I've been to California Adventure.
I think we got kind of spoiled because sometimes we would see things that are, like, temporarily closed, and then an hour later, they'd be back up.
Yeah.
Now,
we do have one temporary closed story that I feel like we have to tell.
So we actually did another paid add-on.
Mm-hmm.
We did it in line.
Well, there's a reason why that's one of only two paid add-ons that we saw. Like, I love this ride.
It was a high recommendation from Dan.
Yeah, it's the Cars
Radiator
Racer.
Radiator Springs.
And
I've never seen it.
I'm not a huge fan of the Cars movie.
I hate the Cars movies.
But it's just a solid, like, high-speed, like, roller coaster. With really great theming. Like,
and for that, again, I trust you. I feel like I could take the recommendations.
And just, like, I think the one thing the Cars movie does really well is that feeling of, like, the Route 66, the Americana, and that's all captured within that ride without the burden of the story.
And something I do want to mention is it wasn't as pricey as the Star Wars. But yeah, so we decided we're going to do that.
Unfortunately, during our window, we got there and it was temporarily closed. Yeah, so we asked the attendant, like, what should we do? And they said, well, we'll honor your fast pass for the rest of the day.
Yeah, just come back whenever you can. Mm-hmm. And of course, we were in California Adventure during October.
Closing at 6.
For the Oogie Boogie Bash, mm-hmm. which we did not have tickets for. And frankly, I'm glad. That would have been a lot.
Yeah.
But anyway, so instead, we did the 70-minute. It wasn't actually 70 minutes. You timed it. It was about just a little under an hour wait for what should have been the Tower of Terror. But it is, I will not let it go. But it is now the
Guardians of the Galaxy
breakout with a Halloween overlay.
Yes.
And now I don't want to spoil too much, but essentially now you're helping Rocket distract these big life forms while he's trying to get Groot out of the building.
Yeah.
And, you know, the same, you know, you have that wonderful mechanic with the drops and the lifts, and that was great. Mm-hmm. That was the one point where morale got so bad for me. I was in so much pain.
Mm-hmm.
At one point, I debated just sitting and crying. And I was like, it's going to be fine. And that's whenever I just started, like, I realized I couldn't, if I sat down, I wouldn't be able to get back up. So just to shift my feet, I kept dancing, just randomly dancing.
Yeah, and this was at like 4 p.m.
Yeah. And I was like, I'm not punking out. I'm not doing it.
Oh, no, California, you got your feet beat up.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, by the time we finished that,
mm-hmm.
we went straight to Radiator Springs.
Did you like Guardians of the Galaxy?
I did. Breakout. I did. I mm-hmm. didn't like it more than the Tower of Terror. I'm sorry.
I mean, there's just something classic. And I mean, it's still obvious that building was built for that purpose.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And I was so grumpy. And I kept mm-hmm. looking up at the building. And it's got all this Technicolor crap on it, like gold satellites and like blue gear wheels. And I was like, at one point, I was just like, it just took so much money to and make talent. It look that stupid. It just, I couldn't get over it. I was like, what's my most expensive mistake? And it's still like a drop in the bucket compared to this.
But it is always sad when just something so unique. And I know that obviously Twilight Zone is a licensed property, but
Twilight Zone Tower of Terror still exists in Florida.
Okay? Which is great. But it is a little sad. It's like, there is a Hollywood, I don't know if it's called the Hollywood Tower Hotel, but there is a hotel that it's based on that still exists.
I don't think it's called the Tower of Terror. I don't see them doing a lot of business. That's not true. That would be a big seller. the weirdos would really come out for that. We're going
to
stay.
I mean, I would travel to Disney World just for Tower of Terror.
That
at this point, yeah.
And I'm trying to get you out there, man. Because there's so much stuff you don't, you have stuff we don't have there. We have stuff you don't have.
Well,
there.
You have Epcot.
Yeah.
And you have Animal Kingdom.
Yes.
And you have MGM Studios, which is not MGM Studios anymore.
Which is Disney's Hollywood Studios.
Disney, okay.
But anyway, hang on. Didn't mean to open that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we book it. The park's about to close for us. Like, we're going to get kicked out. We have an hour.
Yeah.
And so we go to Radiators. We go to the Cars Land.
Yeah. And there we see a giant line. We think that it's a photo op for, like, the Maters. It's like a statue at the end of the road.
It was a statue, and it had, like, a traffic cone painted black, so it was, like, a witch's hat, like, Halloween themed. And I remember thinking, I was like, that's cool, I guess. Like, maybe they're in line to do a photo op before they get ready for the bash.
Mm-hmm.
And what actually happened was, it was a line that went almost near the front. I would say, Cars Land. And whenever we got there, it was just for the Lightning Lane.
Yeah.
And I remember
it was all the people who had lightning passes for that hour and the however long it was out.
I would say at least 2 hours.
Yeah.
And we debated, and I was like, okay, well, I feel like standby is going to be faster. And
it was a 70-minute wait.
It was a 70-minute
wait.
Mm-hmm. And she says, well, that's the Lightning Lane.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, but it's out in the sky. Like, I wasn't mean to her or anything, but I was like, yeah, but it's all the way out there, and I don't see that getting resolved in an hour.
Mm.
And she goes, well, I think it's going to be a shorter wait than the standby. I was like, well, all right. And so we had to, in the end, we decided we were just going to get the refund. Yeah. And so we didn't get to do that.
They were very nice, though.
They were very nice. Mm. That is one thing I love about the Disney, like, resorts is they, you know, they're not going to blow you off if you have an issue. And in this case, you know, we paid for something that we didn't receive, and we just wanted to make sure that the money was going to go back. And it was. And it was fine. But anyway, the overlay, speaking of Halloween overlays, the big overlay was the Haunted Mansion. Again, I've heard about this for years, and I was hellbent. I was like, I'm going to get it. I'm going to ride it.
And we almost didn't do it.
We almost didn't do it, like, three times.
Here's the thing. We tried to get a fast pass for it at, like, what, like 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon?
No, I originally tried at about 10. And I was like, maybe something will open.
Yeah. Was it, the first time we tried to do it at, like, 10, wasn't, like, the only availability, like, 11 o'clock? Like, 11 to 12?
No, the only available was, like, 5. Right. And I didn't want to tie up lightning lanes until 5.
Gotcha.
And I remember we were walking somewhere, and I heard a dad talking to his daughter. And he was like, yeah, well, the wait time for the mansion is really long now. So you made a good call about booking that early. And I remember, I looked at Dan and went, is he serious? And yeah. And then it got to the point, we kept coming back. It's a beautiful sight. It's really impressive. The exterior.
What are the problems? I mean, it's unavoidable. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, you have different levels of rides in different parts of the parks. We were kind of chasing the shorter line times.
But we would always check. We always checked the Matterhorn, and we always checked the Haunted Mansion.
But it did result in us going back and forth and back and forth.
Which, and sometimes it would go down from, like, 120 to 65.
Yeah.
You know, so we were playing the odds pretty well. Mm. But the very last thing... I was in so much pain. I was in so much
pain.
But
you came for the overlay. You came for Haunted Mansion. It's Halloween.
And then at one point, I realized I was irrationally angry at the mansion. And I remember we were so close, and I went, I don't even know if I want to ride it anymore. And Dan goes, what do you mean? I said, I think I'm mad at it. Like, I don't want to deal. And he talked me into it. And I was like, okay, yeah. And I'm glad that we did it. But I remember that was probably the most painful after the Tower of Terror thing.
Yeah. Well, it was the end of the night. It was like 10.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but when we got in the line.
Yeah.
It was a little bit after 10. Because I remember worrying, what if we don't get there? I think their initial wait time was 70 minutes. Uh-huh. And I was worried.
I don't think they're going to kick people out of the line.
Well, I wasn't sure. Okay. Uh-huh. I was nervous. Okay. Yeah. And so I was just like waiting, just talking to strangers in line. And it was a lot of fun. We did the whole thing. Dan quoted the intro to the Nightmare Before Christmas.
Approximately 43,000
times. I was about to say, I want to get the number right. About 43,000, I would say. Yeah.
'Twas a long time ago, longer now than it seems, in a place that perhaps you've seen in your dreams. For the story that you are about to be told took place in the holiday worlds of old. Now, you probably wondered where holidays come from. If you haven't, I'd say it's time you begun.
Which is adorable, and it's fun if he's your friend, but it does lose a little bit of it the longer the day goes on, and the sweatier your bra is, and the more your feet hurt. At a certain point, it was just like, I can murder you. And I was like, no, it's fine.
You hit it well.
I did.
Yeah.
I did. And then we got on the Doom Buggy, and I distinctly remember... there was a moment where the pressure was off my feet. And then I was like, happy for a millisecond. And then all of a sudden I was like, you're going to have to get off this ride. I was so sad. But anyway, we got through it.
So what do you think of the overlay?
I loved it. Not as iconic as the Haunted Mansion, of course.
Obviously.
And it's something that I would be upset if it replaced the ride 50% of the time.
It fits ridiculously well, though.
I did all this research. Mm-hmm. I found out the ghost scene, the ballroom scene, with the big table every year.
The gingerbread house.
Has a gingerbread house. Mm-hmm. The gingerbread house has to be a certain percentage. I don't know what it is, but a certain percentage of edible edible product, edible building material. And per contract with Tim Burton Company, I guess, whatever, because apparently in real life, he loves gingerbread houses. Who knew? And every year they design a new gingerbread house. Mm-hmm. So from what I understand,
here's the thing, when you first mentioned that story to me earlier in the day, I was just like, oh, it's just gonna be this tiny thing. It's like a story tall. Yeah. It's so big.
Yeah. Okay. No, that's kind of cool. That explains it because you went, whoa.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah.
Like, the first time I saw it, I didn't even realize that's what it was. Because it just looks so architectural.
I can't believe that the gingerbread smell is all organic in there. I think they're pumping it in.
Yeah.
But that is a big event. And it does last from September 1st to October 31st.
What happens to the gingerbread? Do they, like, point, give it to an orphanage or...
I mean, no. It's, at that point, it's been a museum. You know, to the elements of whatever bugs might be living in there, you know. Oh. So, I mean, you know, that was neat. I was impressed with the Jack Skellington animatronic because you're really close to it, and I love the movements, and I thought it was just very fluid. I was really impressed with Sally, who barely moves. Mm-hmm. Only her feet move. Oh, and her eyes. She's
blinking, yeah.
That was
She's really looking off wistfully at Jack.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And I thought that was cute. And I liked how they kept some of the elements from the Haunted Mansion.
Mm-hmm.
But they kind of Christmified it. And that was fun. And like I said, it was just, it was really
fun. Basically, they don't try to sugarcoat it. They, well, they coat everything in,
they
in,
do.
In
they
snow. Do. But, you know, it's still the Haunted Mansion. They're not trying to hide that from you. It's just Jack Skellington and his friends have taken it over.
And I'll say something else.
They made it Christmassy.
If you don't want to ride it, if you have the opportunity to be there when it's there, I do recommend getting a picture outside of the mansion, which we didn't do. But the mansion itself is gorgeous, especially after night.
And I believe I've heard that very deliberately the Imagineers and Disney didn't want it to look dilapidated. They wanted it to look to fit in to the...
Interestingly enough, Imagineers wanted the one in New Orleans Square to look like a Southern plantation home. Now, the one in Florida is built in more of a Gothic style, and it is slightly dilapidated. Disney was very adamant. Walt Disney was very adamant. He did not want this trashy-looking thing in his beautiful...
In his park, yeah.
And I get it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a certain amount, but the Haunted Mansion is meant to look like an older but still very impressive house.
And it does.
And with the overlay, with the candles that they put up and the ribbons... Whenever I first saw pictures...
And, of course, you're walking by and they're pumping out the Nightmare Before Christmas soundtrack, which is all evocative.
Well, when I saw pictures, you know, it's normally close-ups of people, and there's a billion things.
Yeah.
And you're just like, that just looks like it's like things just threw up on the mansion.
Yeah.
But when you see the whole picture, suddenly it clicks and you're like... I do understand. It's the difference between looking at a bunch, like 50 little tiny lights and thinking that's a lot of lights for no reason and then seeing the whole picture and it's a giant billboard.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, I do recommend the overlay if you have the time. I also recommend if you don't want to sit through that, I get it. But definitely take a picture. It's worth it. But yeah, so end of the night. I remember vaguely, at one point I just couldn't go on.
Yeah.
Several gentlemen asked me if I was okay and needed help. And I was like, no. It's like, I need to just get...
I will say, you're very noble for not trying to get, you know...
Because I didn't ask for, like, a scooter or a crutches.
Yeah.
No, because there are people with legitimate issues... That, you know, I went to the parks with somebody who turns out later we found out she had an issue with her spine that was diagnosed about 2 months later. She made it all day, and then we were watching the parade, the night parade, and she was there, and then she just wasn't. She was just, she collapsed like a magician dropping a deck of cards. It was fascinating. And the thing is, Disney does have things for that, and they offered her a wheelchair. There are guests who don't know that they need it. And they legitimately need it. But anyway, no, I'm not about to take somebody's, like, legitimately needed medical thing because I'm too stupid and can't figure out how to use escalators and trolley rails. No. Hey, it's Aubrey. Just wanted to let you know that there was a lot of debate on where this particular episode should end. If I include the remainder of my epically long conversation with Dan Little, the episode would come in a little over 2 hours. And I know that we've had episodes that have lasted longer, and I'm probably going to have episodes last at least that long or longer in the future. But for this particular episode, I decided, since originally the concept was just to talk about Disneyland for an episode, and the fact that I got Dan to unwittingly star in 3 episodes,
I decided, much like Dan's favorite franchise, I was gonna turn this into a trilogy. So our next episode will feature the conclusion of the grand adventure that was LA with Dan Little. And I hope you've enjoyed this week's episode of Recommended to Me by a Friend. He really does love Star Wars so much, you guys. We got behind a replica, like a life-size replica, of the Millennium Falcon, and he was so excited, he actually says, "It's the back of the Falcon! It's the Falcon's butt!" It was too good not to share. Until next time, bye!